Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiworks of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Welcome back to the studio, Fred. You've been on the air, but phoning it in.
Yep, I've been working remote, and now I'm actually in the studio. Wow. This is great to be back.
Yeah, the quarantine is gradually lifting around the country and around the world. So Real Science Radio, we have aired interviews with leading scientists on COVID-19, Michael Behe, Kevin Anderson, and James Tour. Well, today it's another of our beloved list shows.
That's right. The list of 25 ways a recession kills people. But Bob, before we get into that, a couple of months ago, we announced some inside baseball information, some big news that was coming, but we couldn't share it at the time.
No.
But now we can. We could. I think it's time to let people know.
So.
I think we're ready.
Dr. Walt Brown has given the thumbs up. So our regular listeners know that Walt is our favorite scientist, PhD from MIT in mechanical engineering, and he is the author of The Hydroplate Theory of the Global Flood, The Fountains of the Great Deep. So Walt's life's work is online, laying out not only an argument against evolution and against the Big Bang, but specifically, how did the global flood unfold? What were the mechanisms involved? That work is now, what an honor to say this. I can't even believe I'm saying this. That work is now on our website at rsr.org.
Yeah, specifically hpt.rsr.org. So hydroplate theory.
Yes,
hpt.rsr.org.
Now, some people, if they look at that, they might think that's an HTTP. But
true.
It's not. It's an HPT.
Yep.
So only 9 letters distinguish Walt Brown's life's work from every other resource in the entire world. That blows my mind.
Yeah, and this is his online book, right?
Yes, in the beginning. And part 2 is The Hydroplate Theory.
Yep.
And the Global Flood. So again, that's hpt.rsr.org. It's an honor to have Walt's work.
It's great to have that
here. And with God's help and Walt's continued blessing, we will be enhancing that website as we go on.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about the hydroplate theory, you can also buy the video, which is outstanding.
Thank you, Fred. rsr.org/store.
Mm-hmm. And it's the global flood and the hydroplate theory. It's a really good 3-part DVD series.
Thank you. Really fun. So, Fred, this is our list of 25 ways a recession kills people. It's not only a pathogen like the coronavirus that kills people. Economic decline also kills people.
That's right. And when we've gone through this list, we'll ask, is the shutdown killing more people than the disease?
Wow.
Including more people than the disease would have if we did not do mitigation.
Whoa.
No shutdown.
If there was no shutdown. So this is a serious question, a serious topic. Now, to do this, we'll reference a few scientific studies. If we didn't, it wouldn't be RSR.
Exactly.
But we'll also use a soft science. And this is the soft science of praxeology, as Ludwig von Mises called it. Fred, he's one of my favorite authors. He was the recognized leader of what's called the Austrian School of Economics for years.
Yeah, and he's kind of the opposite of Keynesian economics that a lot of us have heard of through public schools.
Yes.
And the liberals really pushed that type of economics.
Yeah, they like that because it's tax and spend, and a government could spend itself into prosperity. Basically, it's socialism. But we can do that because I think we've already shown our bona fides with the hard sciences, Fred, like audience favorite molecular biologist Kevin Anderson.
Yeah, Dr. Kevin Anderson. He's great. He spoke at Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. YoungEarth.org is a website. We've had him several times, and his talks on molecular biology and genetics
truly
is just
stunning.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and we've had on, this is just in the last few weeks, to talk about the pandemic, world-renowned scientists like biochemist Michael Behe, famous intelligent design advocate, and synthetic chemist James Tour.
Wow.
Yep. Famous creationist. What an incredible Christian that man is. And Fred, he described his nanoprobe device, something his team actually built. And it's like a guided missile. It seeks out pathogens. It attaches and drills into them, like into a bacteria that causes disease or into a virus. It drills into them at 3 million RPM.
To destroy them.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 million revolutions per minute, this little nano device, that 50,000 of them are the width of a human hair, and they're made by a creationist and his team. They say that creationists can't do science, Fred.
Oh, they're the best scientists. Yeah. I mean, James Tour is incredible.
Yeah.
He literally is a world-famous scientist.
Oh, yeah. And Isaac Newton.
Yeah.
Guys like that.
Yep.
So when it comes to understanding the consequences of economic decline, especially today, from the near global quarantine that we have, this vast economic shutdown.
Yeah, millions of jobs have been lost, and there's who knows how many more jobs are going to be lost before this is all said and done.
Right. And tens of thousands of failed businesses with employers who will no longer and never again provide jobs for others. So these questions of how will this affect human behavior and health, they fall not only into medicine, but into the domain not only of economics, but into the larger realm of what von Mises called praxeology, for the study of human action.
So, Bob, you've read von Mises' book. What did you think of it?
Yeah, it's his masterpiece. It's quite a slog to get through.
A lot of times economic books are. I actually enjoy reading them.
Yeah, yeah. And I have a library of them, and they're awesome. Theory of Money and Credit and so on. But von Mises' book is magnum opus, 1,000 pages. Fred, it is absolutely stunning. Tragically, he's an atheist.
Oh, yep.
So on our website at rsr.org/reading-list, reading-list, we have a little presentation there of how, as an atheist, he contradicted his fundamental insights into economics.
Yep.
Because without God's enduring command, thou shalt not steal, you cannot do economic calculation if the government does not uphold God's enduring command.
And this book is called Human Action.
Yeah, it's really awesome. So as far as economics being a sub-discipline within praxeology, of course, right? The study of all human action, and then that overlaps, of course, with the field of psychology. A lot of Christians freak out at that term because secular psychology has been so damaging.
Oh, so bad, yeah.
But the Bible describes the psyche, the soul, in Greek.
Yeah.
And ology comes from logos. You know, Jesus is the Word.
Yep.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh. God the Son from eternity past. So logos, ology, like biology, the study of life, and psychology, the study of the human soul, if you took it literally, the etymology of it, but it's the study of the human being.
Yeah. Just don't take Sigmund Freud's version of it. Take the Bible's version of it.
Yeah, exactly. So we've all heard the observation that movement in the stock market follows greed and fear. Make sense?
Yeah. Yep.
So, of course, therefore, if you want to understand the financial pages, that often puts you smack dab in the middle of psychology.
Yeah, exactly. Buy low and sell high. You know who Warren Buffett is, right?
Oh, yeah.
He said decades ago, if you want to make money off the Dow, you need to be fearful when everyone else is greedy, and you better be greedy when everyone else is fearful.
Yeah. And in fact, Fred, I've got friends who have their money in the airline stocks.
Oh.
Warren Buffett announced a week ago, I'm bailing on the airlines.
Yeah.
And
this
they
is
have,
after they've already been crushed.
Yeah, and they have plummeted since he said that.
Yep.
So this leads us to what von Mises was so big on in human action. It's the thought experiment. And there are many, especially atheists, who like to brag that they're empiricists. Hmm. They only believe what can be observed. Only the things that could be observed are scientific.
Yep. So and they're hypocritical about that, as we've talked about many times on this show.
They're hypocrites because, well, then that's not scientific. The idea that only that which is observable is scientific, that claim itself is not observable. Yeah. You can't do an experiment, and the conclusion will tell you that. So they contradict themselves every time they open their mouth. But the hard sciences make great use of thought experiments.
Yeah, that's how Einstein made his discoveries, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Basically in his living room.
Yeah.
Or on the trolley. Then we park our space satellites far above Earth in what are called Lagrange points. When were they discovered by NASA in the 1970s, Fred? The Lagrange points in space?
No. 1736.
Going way back, some guy named Lagrange. Paul Dirac discovered antimatter and positrons before they were actually observed.
And Max Planck, the Planck constant?
Higgs, the Higgs boson. In fact, James Clerk Maxwell, the father of the science of electromagnetic radiation, discovered in 1859, not with a telescope, but by his thoughts, that the rings of Saturn were not, as supposed, solid. Some thought they were solid rings. Mm-hmm. Others thought they were a continuous liquid, but that they were made up of disconnected particles. And that discovery, Fred, it took a long time to confirm Maxwell's discovery.
122 years later by NASA's Voyager 2 mission.
So thought experiments are incredibly powerful. So as good praxeologists, Fred Williams.
Is that what we are now?
And Bob Enyart.
Real Science Radio?
For tonight. The study of human behavior, it's Bible-based Christians, Fred, who should be the best around because, well, for example, an illustration, you understand an automobile better when you understand how it was made.
Yeah, and you understand people better when you understand how we were made. And if you notice who is following the manufacturer's recommended maintenance plan and who is ignoring it.
Wow. So that's the Bible, right?
Yep.
The Bible is the manufacturer's maintenance plan. And after all, this very program is brought to you by God, maker of heaven and earth and other fine products. All right. So, Fred, you mentioned that we're going to ask whether the economic downturn might kill more people than the virus itself. So far, roughly, about how many people have died from this COVID-19?
Well, right now we're about at 80,000 and about 270,000 worldwide.
Wow. So that is serious. This is like having a full year of the flu, but the worst flu we ever had, in addition to our flu deaths.
That's right. Yeah.
And in 4 months. So obviously it's very serious. But a shutdown of the economy in order to save lives, hey, that effort to save lives, that's awesome.
Yep.
But you need to realize the law of unintended consequences. You might be killing people as you're trying to save them. So let's look at our list of 25 ways a downturn kills people.
Yes, the opposite of an improved standard of living is an increase in the ways of dying.
You know, liberals get mad when you talk about, well, a standard of living improved 0.2% last quarter, and they get angry. They act like, well, that's just about money. You don't care about people.
Exactly.
That's just money.
Yep.
Boy, liberals are stupid. Are they stupid? You know, I'm in my 60s. I'm just figuring out. Liberals are stupid. You know, but stupid doesn't make you sin. But sin makes you stupid.
That's right.
So I think it's not their God-given IQ that's brought them to this point. It's their hatred of God and rebellion against God that has made them so dumb.
Yeah, there's a verse in the Bible that says, those who turn to the left are stupid. Well, I mean, it really does say that.
Well, yeah, and what else? He who hates correction is stupid. Yeah, and how about this? Solomon said 3,000 years ago, the good man's heart is on his right, the fool's heart is on his left.
Interesting.
So those ideas go way back.
Yeah.
In French, sinister is left. In Chinese, the pictograph for your right hand also means correct or true. It's astounding.
Yeah.
And God is righteous. And those who reject him will be left behind.
Interesting. Very well put.
Isn't it something?
Yeah.
So what makes an economy function? People often think money, and we have a great article, What is Money? We think it has the world's best definition of money at rsr.org/money, but that is not what makes the economy function.
But when we do as the Bible says and serve one another,
wow,
how important is that?
That is really the description of economic activity.
Yeah, serve one another.
When people serve one another. Yeah, it really is beautiful too. And Fred, economic activity and an improvement in the standard of living, it comes best when people obey God.
That's right.
Because he's the manufacturer.
Yep.
Follow the owner's manual.
Serve one another.
Yeah. So a lot of economic calculation is done what's called on the margins. Like, let's say you increase the minimum wage. So there are some conservatives who have a naive view of that, and they think that thousands of people will be laid off in Denver, Colorado, if they increase the minimum wage, or say in Seattle or Portland. So the more insightful understanding is that when you increase the minimum wage, things will change at the margins. So when surrounding suburbs are hiring more people in Portland or in Seattle, they won't be hiring, they won't be creating as many new jobs, entry-level jobs, as the surrounding suburbs on a per capita basis. So things happen on the margins, typically.
Okay.
So the same thing here with this list of ways a downturn kills people. It's not that any one of these things is going to kill 5 million people. It's that the people who will die because of these types of factors, there will be an increase on the margins of the people who die because there's a recession.
Yeah.
And sometimes those numbers could become huge.
So, Bob, in some context, it's called the tipping point.
Yeah.
Right?
What a great point.
All these things add together and you reach a tipping point.
Yeah.
And these things start to happen, like you said, on the margins.
Yeah. That's the title of a popular book, even. So here is Real Science Radio's list of ways a recession kills people.
Yep. And the first one is the one that a lot of people have already heard. We're going to expand so much more on this, but suicide increases.
Yes.
That's the most obvious one, and that the president even mentioned. And it is true.
Donald Trump, he's exactly right. It's an enormous problem because, and I'm not a Trump fan, I'm not a never Trumper. I love him and his family enough to attempt to share the gospel with him. Mm-hmm. We took out a full page ad in the Washington Times. We may do a second one for his second term. So we love him and care about him and his family, but I'm not a Trump supporter because he's funded abortion to the hundreds of millions, and he stacked the courts with pro-abortion judges, and he's promoting homosexuality all over the world, and he's even done terrible socialist things. But he's also right quite often. And when he pointed out that suicide increases, that is a major way that recession kills people.
It's the 10th leading cause of death.
It is, of all Americans. In good times.
Yeah, and it's second among young adults.
And that is devastating. That is absolutely devastating. Fred, I haven't shared this with you, and of course I'm not going to give any indication of who, what family, what city, what state, but a family that's very well known to Bob and Yart Live has had a grandson that just committed suicide.
Mm.
Absolutely devastating.
Yeah.
And for whatever, I don't know his personal life. So whatever was going on, a young man, but he was laid off from his job. And that obviously added to the rest of whatever was happening in him.
Yeah.
And he killed himself.
Yeah. Maybe that was the tipping point.
That could have been the tipping point. So when you already have a terrible crisis of people killing themselves, which is wrong. And then you add to it additional economic decline, economic stress, then of course, sadly, you increase the number of suicides. That's not an affirmation of suicide. It's not an excuse for suicide. Mm-hmm. Suicide is wrong. We aggressively oppose abortion and euthanasia, suicide. But it's a reality that in the history of the world, millions of people have killed themselves intentionally. And that is not what Jesus did on the cross. And that is not what a soldier does when he jumps on a hand grenade.
That's right. Totally different.
Liberals say that, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, atheists. They say, I thought you were against suicide. Jesus committed suicide. Unbelievable. So suicide is when you intentionally kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So a jihadist suicide bomber or a Japanese kamikaze, they get glory by killing themselves in their mission.
Yeah.
That's their goal. American GIs have never been like that.
And jihadists are not only killing themselves, they're murdering a lot of innocent people, usually. Oh,
yeah, right. That's typically the goal. But an American GI, no, he's on a mission, and we might even say it's a suicide mission because there's virtually no conceivable way you're going to get out of this alive, but you do anything you possibly can to get out of it alive.
It's like General Patton said when he opened up a speech to all these GIs, don't die for your country. Make the other guy die for his country.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So when a GI jumps on a hand grenade, if I was in a foxhole, in a real foxhole with live fire, I would want Doug McBurney next to me. There's nobody in the Sorry, Doug. I hate to put you there in my thought experiment, but there's nobody in the world I'd rather have. Doug's a former Marine, and he's just incredibly awesome. But when a GI dives on a hand grenade, his goal is not to kill himself. His goal is to save his buddies.
Yeah.
And if he could save his buddies and not kill himself, that's his desire, but his goal is to save his buddies, not to kill himself. Jesus, when he went to the cross, he prayed in Gethsemane, Father, if there is any other way, take this cup from me.
Yep.
But if not, then not my will, but thine will be done. So Jesus, his goal wasn't to die. His goal was to save us. But if that was the only way, and that was the only way, then he was willing.
That's right. So it's good that President Trump has brought up suicide, but the problem is it's really that's just as far as he's gone. I haven't heard him say anything else but suicide.
I haven't either, Fred, and he may have. I've heard him on three different occasions trying to explain to the leftists who want the shutdown to continue for six more months—
Because
they want to beat Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Right? So they want the economy to collapse to give their candidate, I forget his, the guy in a coma.
The guy, Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
In a coma.
Yeah. With the brain freeze. Oh, no, that's Nancy Pelosi with the ice cream. They want to give Joe Biden a chance to win.
Sorry, Bob. That's good.
Okay. Which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Sad, actually.
Yeah. It's hard to see how Joe Biden will make it to the convention, let alone survive a debate, let alone to the election. And I don't like when Sean Hannity on Fox News Channel, when he makes fun of him, because it's like it's going into a nursing home and making fun of an old guy who can't remember what he's talking about.
I agree with that completely. Yeah.
Or where he is.
Yeah.
It was one thing. Joe Biden was fair game a year ago, but he has so much cognitive decline. It's like you're making fun of someone suffering from early onset Alzheimer's, only it's not an early onset. It's horrific to see.
It is.
And he's a child killer, a socialist, pro-homo.
Yep.
He's a Democrat, but yeah, it is a crisis. But here is where Donald Trump then didn't go far enough. Each time I heard him say this, that the shutdown will kill people, he said, like with suicide. And it's almost as though he wanted to get other examples out of his mouth, but he couldn't vocalize. He couldn't verbalize other examples. He wasn't prepared.
And that's where we step in, Bob.
We stepped
in. Real Science Radio.
Because
we've got a list of 25.
Because I was watching that. I'm trying to pull the words out of his mouth.
Yeah.
It's like he wants to talk.
And I can see in your mind, list show.
List show. Fred, call Fred. List show. Yeah. 25. Ways a downturn kills people. So that brings us to our second way that economic decline kills people.
Yeah, stress, which is a major factor in increased disease, depression, and directly death itself.
Oh, yeah. And so let's do this, Fred. When you say that stress is a major factor. People have heard this much of their lives, that stress causes depression, disease, and of course, directly death, because people kill themselves over increased stress. So as is the way of Real Science Radio, let's link each of these to a scientific report, increased disease from Carnegie Mellon University, and then we have increased depression to a study published in the journal Current Neuropharmacology. And then finally, how stress increases suicide itself in a paper published in the journal Depression and Anxiety.
Yep. And you know, Bob, one of the listeners told me that what they appreciate about Real Science Radio is we really don't deal in a lot of anecdotes and, you know, hearsay. We will link to scientific studies on this stuff. We do that with everything. And most of the time, they're from their own peer-reviewed journals.
Yeah.
It's, so we're not like citing our own. We will cite our own creation scientists because they're wonderful.
Right.
But a lot of times, we will appeal to their own science to show what we're,
to the
evolutionist,
to demonstrate
the
what atheist,
we're talking about.
The materialist. Exactly. Because when they make a discovery like, this is a huge problem for whale evolution, or this is a huge problem for the formation of the solar system, or this is a colossal problem for the theory of the Big Bang, testimony contrary to interest is the most powerful testimony available. It's the most honest, and it's typically the most reliable when people, even if it's in a criminal case, or a historian, or a scientist who has a theory, and then he says, but look at all this evidence that goes against my theory. So that's what we do. We cite their work when they acknowledge that their discoveries are undermining their materialist worldview.
That's right. So, Bob, we've got a list of 25 here, and we've gotten through two of them. So we got 23 more to go. Hey. We also have, because of the way we work at Real Science Radio, we also will provide a list of offsetting factors.
Oh.
But I don't think we have the time because, you know what, we're out of time.
Fred, that's very typically RSR.
Yeah. So,
but I think we should do one last one. The top three.
The top three. Let's do it.
Don't you think? Because they all start with S.
True.
Suicide, stress, and starvation.
Yeah, starvation.
And
yes.
This one is horrifying.
It is.
Because not as much in the U.S. as around the world. Not as much in the U.S. because we transfer billions of dollars in food and nutrition aid to people who are poor for their weekly food budget. Billions of dollars every year. So starvation per se. You have people who are homeless because they're alcoholics or drug addicts or because they're mentally ill and they don't want to go to shelters and they don't want to accept help. And some of them have starved to death, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And there are examples where people abuse their children and lock up their children who starve to death, of course. But overwhelmingly, true starvation and hunger-related death is a crisis in the third world, primarily.
Yep.
And there are a lot of people who die every year around the world from starvation and hunger-related death.
And it's about 9 million annual deaths.
9 million.
9 million.
It's devastating to consider. Fred, there is a film about a very successful Kenyan. His name is Mully. I highly recommend this film. You could see it on Amazon Prime. This guy, he took over entire industries in Kenya. Wildly wealthy with 6-7 kids, wonderful wife, beautiful home. And he suddenly realized that his life was meaningless because he had grown up as poor could be. And he realized there were tens of thousands of Kenyan kids living on the streets in Nairobi and elsewhere.
Yeah.
And it devastated him. And so he drove away from his mansion out to the middle of nowhere for hours, 4 hours. And he pulled over and he started to cry. And he realized that he had abandoned God. And he felt in his heart that God told him, go back and dedicate your life to taking care of these kids.
Hmm.
That's what he did. And it is a stunning film. Anyone in this audience who decides even tonight to watch Mully, they will email me tomorrow, guaranteed, or tonight, bob@rsr.org, and say, Bob, thank you so much for telling us to watch Mully. M-U-L-L-Y. It's unbelievable. Hmm. But when you realize the poverty that tens of millions of people live in, and the malnutrition, and the hunger, and the starvation, it's absolutely devastating. So when there is a global recession,
and on the margins. That's definitely what we're having now.
We're big time in a global recession. Mm-hmm. On the margins, the people who are dying, more of them will die. And so the number of people in the world, and Doug McBurney is the first one who brought this to my attention some weeks ago to think this through, and I'm so thankful he did. On the margins, if 1% of 9 million, 1% more of 9 million died of starvation, that's 90,000. That's more people than have died in America from COVID-19 in the last 4 months, 80,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's if there's an increase by 1%. There could be an increase by 5% or 10%. It could be, if the global recession is bad enough, 1 million people could die from starvation as a direct result of America and Europe and many countries trying to slow the death from the virus.
Yes, yeah. We're only on item number 3, but this is a big one, Bob.
It's a big one. Suicide, stress, which increases all this stuff, disease,
mm-hmm.
depression, and suicide, and then starvation. Yes, and then we have 22 more to go.
22 more to go, and then we'll go through a smaller list of
offsetting
examples.
Yes, offsetting factors. So, Fred, thank you so very much for being in studio after 2 months.
I'm glad to be back, and I'll be back here next week to finish this list.
Yeah, now, Fred has been wearing a mask the whole time. I'm wearing a helmet.
Can't you tell?
I'm wearing a helmet, like a motorcycle helmet with a visor and a full body personal protective equipment.
Did you see the mask I posted on Facebook?
Moon boots. I'm wearing moon boots. No, what did you?
It
no.
was a Broncos mask, but the nose and mouth were exposed. No.
Perfect, Brad.
So I was wondering if Costco would allow me still to come in because I have a mask.
Perfect for a tailgate party.
That's right.
You've been a season holder for how long?
Since the new stadium, so however long that's been.
Over 10 years.
Yep, at least.
And yeah. You think they'll have
preseason? I'm worried
preseason?
They're not going to open. I think they're going to play the games, but without fans.
So. Really?
Or maybe, I don't know.
We'll see. Preseason, Here's my prediction, football prediction. Preseason without fans, opening day with fans. That's my prediction.
You're right. I hope you're right.
We'll see. I hope.
I just got a notice today. I got to pay the last installment of my season tickets.
Isn't that grand?
Yes.
That's grand, Fred. All right. So thank you, Fred.
Thanks, Bob. I'll be back next week to finish our list of 25 ways a downturn kills people. Wow. We've gotten through 3. We've got 22 more to go.
All right. And this is Bob Enyart for Fred Williams in Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. By the handiwork of God, tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real, that's what I'm talking about.